Happy Thursday. It is a beautiful day and wonderful things are happening. Can you feel it? Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful things are happening. My life is so blessed. I have so much to be thankful for. There is so much good in my life. And more than anything, I am grateful for the presence of God in my life, for the for just being able to feel incredible joy and love, whether I'm walking in the parking lot or the grocery store, or whatever it is I'm doing, whatever it is you're doing. I mean, this is all of us. We're so fortunate to get to feel the spirit within us, that love that radiates out. You know, I think once you get connected and you become more conscious of your consciousness and you start feeling better and better, perhaps it's possible to forget what it felt like before you were disconnected, before you knew what your spirit felt like. But so grateful to be able to have that connection and to feel spirit working through us, through me. Take a deep breath in and say, yes. Yes, yes, I'm so grateful for my life. I'm so grateful to be evolving my spirit to be able to focus on, you know, on self-realization. Again, just so fortunate to have all our needs met in such a way that we can, you know, make this highest purpose our purpose. To put all this, you know, time and energy into healing ourselves, into realizing our true nature, into being the greatest point of love and light on the planet that we can be for all others to share. Deep breath in. And let's just start with three deep breaths. Breathing in, releasing, and letting go. Breathing into any frustrations, anything that steal your peace, any anger you have in your body, just release and let it go. Oh. Deepest breath in. Tensing up your body, squeezing your body, feel the energy flowing, and on the exhale, release and let it all go. Take a moment now to step into the warm, bubbling jacuzzi of consciousness. As you submerge into the warm, bubbling water, you're effortlessly relaxed. Connect with the life force within you that is you. Bringing all your attention to the point between your eyebrows. Taking a moment to observe what. Taking a moment to observe your mind thinking. Putting your attention on that part of yourself that can observe your mind thinking. Noticing that there is a subject-object and being a conscious observer of what your mind is doing. Unattached from it, separate from it. Take a step back and observe the observer observing. Turn your consciousness around 180 degrees. Now are that. Kind of just enjoying the call from the standpoint of observing the observer observe. state of gratitude, being connected with spirit, having your heart opened. I mean, you know what I mean when I say that, right? Most people never know. They never feel their spirit. They never feel their true selves, their true presence. Your power is in your presence. Your presence is what's blocked by the clouds of negativity and illusions of thinking you're this and or that. The divine feeling of love, and that divine love and spirit is a connectedness to all that you are, that the oneness that we all are. You know, the oneness isn't a Pamela, a Don, a Stephen, and a Donna all in a circle being one. It's the oneness is that what causes my heart to beat is causing your heart to beat. And thou art that. And there is no separation from that. And that is your the Creator. That which sustains your existence. That which has created infinite universes upon infinite universes, expanding at an infinite rate. Like that's your first awakening, major awakening experience, is when you get to experience that from a standpoint beyond, I guess, an intellectual or verbalization of it. So just intend to breathe in and be one with the universe. To know all things, to be all things. You know, for 20 years I was hearing, you know, don't see yourself in the universe, see the universe within you. You know, what does that mean? You know, I just wanted to hook up with a pretty girl that weekend. And then I'm reading about this. But then you think about these things, you contemplate about these things, you keep meditating. And then all of a sudden you get a realization, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The universe is in you. The world you see, the world you experience comes from inside you and is projected out. It doesn't exist without you. Take a deep breath in. So I guess knowing that the world is with us, knowing the universe is within us, you know, doesn't that make sense then? And that's why the greatest gift we can give our world is our own enlightenment. You know, the greatest gift we give the world is our self-realization, our healing, our evolution of our consciousness. Because the more love we have inside of us, the more love the universe is going to have, the more love the world is going to have, the more loving it'll be. One of the prayers that was helpful to me, particularly in my first year of an hour of meditation a day, I would always read it in the morning before I meditated. So I thought it might be nice if we all just, if I'll just read it with you. You can say it to yourself or you can just listen. But we can all just, you know, take a moment to be in our virtual circle and just recognize one another, to clasp your hands together in prayer. And this is the Saint Francis of Assisi's prayer that I'm sure you've all heard before. And it's just take a moment again to come together in our virtual circle for the benefit of each other, for the benefit of all. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much to seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in our pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is dying that we are born into eternal light. Deep breath in. And that prayer has everything that we need. And it is in dying that we are born into eternal light. You know, to overcome the grip that the narcissistic ego has on us, this prayer is perfect, right? O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand. You know, that's the functional aspect of perception, of getting the other person's point of view. Understand where they're coming from instead of needing your point to be understood, to be loved as to love. So to love, but it is in loving that we are loved, right? The giver and the gift are the same. You know, to receive, to give, take a deep breath in. You know, to look where there is hatred, let me sow love. It just becomes almost your mission to bring love everywhere you go. And you could go on you could go on the internet and do a search for Donald Trump and spend all day loving the people on those posts. I just really like that prayer and wanted to share it with you today. So let's sort of check back in with our consciousness. How conscious are we of our consciousness? Are we observing the observer observe? Are we identifying with the spirit within us as us? Are we identifying with our mind and body? You know, your mind can still do stuff. Supposedly, it stops once we enlighten. You know, until then, it's gonna make noise, but that noise is gonna get less and less and less, and you're gonna have bigger and bigger gaps of silence. And the more that you train your mind. One-pointed focus, you know, whether it's something that you're contemplating on or if it's just maintaining the field, it's the awareness of the field. It's the awareness of the life force within you that is you, or I should say the focus on. It's not a fixity of concentration, like you have to get this paper done or you have to get this form filled out. And you sort of have to use your will to, you know, your personal will to force yourself to do it. I had to use my, you know, personal will to get my writing in every day. It's a focus, you know, as you're holding all your attention on the point between your eyebrows. It's like, you know. You know, peer into that eye, you know, peer into the, you know, to the light that you see. You know, sometimes you see the little phosgenes, little things or sparkles floating around. Sometimes you'll just get hit with a bright light. Sometimes you might see a little blue dot or blue pearl or purple light. But then it's not you know, you want to be laser focused on that point, but it's the field that is the focus. And when you peer into your third eye, it becomes infinite. I mean, right, there's sort of infinite space. And when you're connected with the spirit, you kind of leave your body to some degree. And so the focus is on the field, you know, on the essence. You know, that's the perception, is not reality. Is that we think what we see is what's real, but what's the essence? You know, what's behind it? What's providing for its existence? So hold your attention on, your focus on that. Well, fields of energy within fields of energy within fields of energy. So like if you can maybe imagine the smallest atom, you know, it sends out waves, you know, the particle wave, like won't, 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 like in a complete circle all around it, sending out energy. And that reverberates through the entire universe. Bigger and bigger fields of energy within fields of energy within fields of energy. To a large degree, the fields of energy are pure potentiality. And it's the observer, you know, that you could say collapses the wave function and makes it what it is. At least makes it what it is to the, you know, to the human eye or to the observer. The thing in itself is its meaning. It has no real meaning beyond that. And it's, and that which it is a representation of the infinite potential. It will merge back into the source from which it came. Whole universe is just fields of energy within fields of energy within fields of energy. There's potential for that thing to exist before it exists, so it becomes so. That which is providing for the potential is what's real, is its essence. You know, a spiritual tool is to intend to see the beauty in all things, everywhere, all the time. And so, like, when we stare at, like, a garden or the trees or in nature, I mean, it is aesthetically pleasing, but, and there's more. There's the presence of the essence. I mean, almost everybody feels more connected in nature. Because we're surrounded by what's real. We're surrounded by spirit itself. I mean, why do you want to hug a tree? You know, I never really got tree hugger until I lived amongst these redwoods. And it's not like some hippie thing. It's like there. It's like you feel it in your heart. You just want to hug them. They're just radiating love. Just being that which they are. Their essence is radiating forth. The beauty in all things. Beauty is the essence. Take a deep breath in. So I mentioned a little bit about the Wednesday Discover Your Power course. And again, it's really just, you know, the most Buddhist traditions have it where each year you take, you know, 12 weeks to go on retreat. It doesn't mean you have to lock yourself in a cabin, although it doesn't sound that bad, be in solitude, but it's just an opportunity where you consciously intend to deepen your practice, to increase your dedication and devotion to whatever it is your priority. So in one degree, you know, the most important is the spiritual practice. But it's not going to be, you know, all about meditation. It's going to be about what else we are seriously committed to in our life. You know, whether it be our art, our children, our business, whatever it is, But to make these sort of 12 weeks the most powerful 12 weeks of the year, to finish the year strong and to go into the year strong, to accomplish whatever it is that you still don't have accomplished in the years nearing the end. And so I just wanted to read a little list. You know, I like list of the central elements of a serious, committed inner spiritual work. So, we're sort of preparing for this, retreat time, for this time of deeper devotion and reflection. So the central elements of a serious, committed spiritual work consist of discipline of focus without deviation. So, what is our focus? It's on the essence of the present. The power of the present is in the essence. It's in the field. Our focus is on the life force within us that is us. It's also on, being loving, being kind, being generous, seeing beauty in everything. All the time, everywhere, the beauty of God, the beauty of the divine. Not getting caught up in this or that, in opinions, or it's surrendering your positionalities and staying focused on the field, being focused on the love. Willingness to surrender all desires and fears to God. Take a deep breath in. Surrender all desires and fears to God. This is a constant practice. I don't know what comes up more, desires or fears, but to continue to surrender them. Willingness to endure temporary anguish until the difficulty is transcended. So, we talked about it on Tuesday, where things kind of, they shift down. Your meditations aren't as good, or something's got in the way of your habits or schedules, and you look for that crack of light to show up again so you can dive deeper into your practice. So, it's enduring the temporary anguish until difficulty is transcended. Consistency and watchfulness. So constantly remaining watchful. Constantly remaining watchful of how conscious you are of your consciousness, of being the observer, the conscious observer, not the, unconscious reactor. Watchfulness of thoughts, watchfulness of actions, of where your focus is. Moving from self-interest as a participant experiencer to that of the witness observer. So I kind of covered that, but it's letting go of the self-interest is what really helps you let go of that participator, the experiencer, to being the witness of the observer. Self-interest, in every movie they have about like a businessman or just all movies, self-interest wins out over all things, your own self-interest. Like in that, it's almost as that's being programmed into our minds that that's okay. Is that, self-interest is number one, looking out for number one. But we're all one. There is no number one. When the good of the whole is served, it's the best for everybody. I mean, when you win, everybody wins too. There's nothing wrong with having personal success. But that not being the focus, being the witness and observer, being the primary interest, because you're unattached from the outcome. You're there to hold the space for unconditional love and forgiveness. But you're content being the witness and observer. Nothing needs to go your way or any certain way. Six. So, you know, this is from Discovery of the Presence of God, Devotional Non-Duality, by Dr. David Hawkins, you know, page 122. Seven, identifying with the field rather than with the content of the field. Take a deep breath in. So take a moment just to reflect on what that means to you for a second. Identifying with the field rather than with the content of the field. The field is the context. The field is the blackboard. The field is dark space. You know, the field is the sky and the content is the clouds. You know, the chalk on the blackboard is the content, but the context, the field, is the blackboard. All right, the fields were fields of energy. Now focus on the context, on the field. Meaning all the this and that is not important. You know, the opinions, the data, the facts. Truth is self-evident. It needs no explaining. It needs no words. And in fact, any time that you try to speak the truth, you make it non-truth. The truth just is. Why don't we all just intend to make this one for today, our spiritual tool, our goal, staying, identifying with the field rather than with the content of the field. Like when you have to maybe deal with people that, you know, no matter what, there seems to always be a difficult person in every situation. So by ignoring their content, ignoring their actions and what's coming out of their mouth, but identifying with the life force within them that is them, with the force of love that's causing their heart to beat. I could give many other examples. So eight. Proceeding with certainty and confidence by accepting that enlightenment is one's destiny, not a goal, wish, or hope. Rejecting the notion that enlightenment is a gain and understanding it is a condition that ensues as a consequence of decisions, intention, and devotional dedication consequent to both karma and divine grace. Take a deep breath in. Let's all just take a minute and accept enlightenment as one's destiny. You would not be learning all that you are about enlightenment if it was not. Your own enlightenment is certain in this time, in this lifetime or the next. It doesn't really matter. Only that your enlightenment is guaranteed is important. So the last one is avoiding glamorizing grandiosity, the endeavor or its destination, and relying instead on devotion for its own sake. Deep breath in. Just sort of talking about devotion and dedication, particularly devotion, sort of opens your heart, and you know, it makes me think of getting on my knees and, you know, praising the Lord. It's just even saying the word devotion helps you stay more devoted. So what are some qualities that, you know, helps you stay dedicated and devoted? Well, the consistency of practice of those steps that we just went over, the consistency of practice of using your spiritual tools. You know, the only tool you need is to be unconditionally loving all the time to all people and all places, including yourself. You know, focus on being kind and generous, accepting and patient. By staying focused on the field, by staying focused on truth. You know, every time you're frustrated or annoyed or opinionated, you know you're focusing on the content rather than the context. You know, the media is masterful at making you go unconscious and making you focus on the content rather than the context. I mean, through, you know, just straight out propaganda, you know, but as well as like sound bites, you know, where they'll give you a small piece of content and you have no idea what the overall context in which it was taken out of, right? Everybody can identify with that and see how that's done all the time. Take a deep breath in. You know, anybody can make anybody wrong taking a small piece of content and using it completely out of context. To stay focused on what is real. What is real has no drama. I mean, in a way, it could almost appear boring, but you know that it's not. The feeling of that unconditional love and being connected with spirit is second to none. So I found, you know, two ways that I've noticed, that I've observed in myself and in life. You know, one is staying really busy, and the other is secluding myself and spending most of my time in, you know, in solitude, more or less. And when you're really busy, you know, it tends to keep away depression for sure. It tends to keep away negative thoughts because you're too busy to think about anything other than what you're doing. But then that busyness tends to take you out of concentration and focus on the field and into content, into accomplishing, into getting done what needs to be done, into, you know, achieving a goal, achieving a particular outcome. And then when you seclude yourself in silence and solitude, you know, the downside of that is it tends to be people might get lonely or think it's not fun, or, you know, you're not enjoying life. But the spiritual practices can be practiced in both situations. You know, when you're busy with lots of worldly activity, I mean, that's your greatest opportunity for spiritual practice. To be a light in the world when you're interacting with people, to be the example of what it's like to be conscious of your consciousness and to do things consciously, to have everything work out for you easy, effortlessly, and enjoyably, and to practice being patient and kind and loving with so many different types of people. And when you're in solitude, you know, if you're feeling bored, it's just because you're not you know, you're still identifying with the content of being bored or not having content. If you're focused on the field, on the essence, on the presence, it's really impossible to be bored. I mean, the love just continues to grow and grow and grow. And you're constantly beginning or receiving opportunities to practice surrender and letting everything go to God. And there is a good deal of stuff that we all need to surrender and let go of. And that's not from a judgment standpoint. That's just from practicality of living life and experiencing it. Just take a moment to, as we summer ends, we're going into the change of season. You know, things are going to change. There's going to be a shift in the energy. We're going into the end of the year. You know, have you accomplished everything you want to accomplish? Is there more to do? Can you deepen your practice? Can you spread more love? Can you, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, I know during these 12 weeks I want to book another speaking gig coming up. Or I just know I want to do that before the end of the year. I want to speak in front of an audience. Ideally of 40 or more people, and get paid to do it. You know, have you journaled every day for 90 days in a row? Or maybe you want to know what it's like to meditate 2 hours a day for 90 days in a row. Or create art or two. Or to have a retreat. Deep breath in. You know, so whether you participate in this 12-week course or not, I just kind of want to encourage everybody to, you know, to do this even if it's on your own, to have this 12-week, this 3-month period where you take something on. You know, even it's just, you know, if you meditate an hour every day, you know, you meditate 90 minutes every day and don't miss a journaling day. Or maybe it's to read every day for 45 minutes. You know, if you read every day for 45 minutes, you'll, and the book's around 260, 280 pages, you can read a book a week. Just take a deep breath in. And let's just sort of, before we go into silence, sort of end the call where we started in a state of gratitude for, you know, getting to be at the top of the pyramid of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, getting to work on self-realization. Having gratitude that in knowing with certainty that enlightenment is our destiny. Having gratitude for knowing how lucky we are to be developing, you know, our souls on this level. To be developing the spirit within us, to have transcended so much, according to Hawkins' work, 85% of the people on the planet are below 200. You've evolved your karma, your soul, you know, your spirit. You won't go back there in another lifetime. You're advancing, only going forward. You know, just let go of your persona for a moment. Let go of your gender, your race, your upbringing. Just connect with the essence. Connect with the field. Express gratitude for getting to do this. Tend to deepen your devotion and dedication more than you ever have before. It just gets better and better and better and better. Let's just bring up our right hand and take a moment to send each other love. Let that love galvanize in the tip of your middle finger. Seeing bright white light beginning to form in the tip of your middle finger. You're feeling some tingling or sensation there. Put your attention on it. Atmosphere around you is purified and blessed by the divine. By the divine energy descend upon you, you are purified and blessed. You are protected and guided by the divine in all your activities, day and night, in all places. Go ahead and give your third eye a little touch. Good. And we merge into the silence. Just intend to stay connected with the field, to keep your focus on the field. The more open you are to receive, the more you'll receive. Deep breath in. Just see your most dedicated and devoted self. See yourself being the, you know, your most loving self that you've ever been, your most devoted and dedicated self you've ever been. Being a vehicle for unconditional love, bringing peace and joy with you everywhere you go. Believing in yourself more than ever before. Being more connected than ever before, more focused on the presence than ever before. Experiencing more of God's grace than ever before and raising your consciousness level to a whole new level, you know, taking a jump. Jumping into those loving or unconditional loving states and maintaining that state. Helping raise the consciousness of the planet and counterbalancing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of negative people by virtue of your presence, of your essence, of the love that is vibrating out of you. Just take a moment to see your life. At the end of the year, you've accomplished more than you've ever accomplished. You've gone farther than you thought you could ever go. You're being of more deeply loving service to more people than ever before. See the whole world becoming more peaceful and prosperous and happy. See your life filled with happiness, peace, and success. See the whole world where everyone is living a happy, successful, and peaceful life. The whole world live in peace. May you enjoy long life, good health, prosperity, happiness, and peace. Oh, amen. We can just clap our hands together, rubbing them vigorously, creating heat and friction. Oh, palm your eyes. Whenever you're ready, you can slowly breathe your eyes open.